Welcome to episode 3 of the Burning Bush Podcast, sharing scripture over cigars. Today, I am smoking the Mi Querida, which is a Maduro made by Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust Company. It's a company that was started by Steve Saka, who used to be affiliated with Drew Estate. And actually, the Liga Privada line that I mentioned in the last episode was blended for him. So then he left Drew Estate, and hope I'm getting all this right. It's all coming from memory. But he left Drew Estate and started his own company called Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust. So this is the Mi Querida, and I'm reading the notes on the cigar from Dunbarton's website. And as always, I'll have everything linked in the show notes so you can find it easily. Mi Querida literally translates as my dearest. However, it is a rather provocative word within Nicaragua, used to expressly describe your secret mistress. While this may sound like an oxymoron, it is not. It is not uncommon in the culture for a man to have a mistress that is both known by and basically approved of by his wife, whereas the Mi Querida is the woman who neither his wife or mistress know about or would ever approve of. Wow. Cigar-wise, it represents my personal Maduro desires, a robust, extremely flavorful Liga comprised of rich Nicaraguan leaf hand-rolled in a 100% naturally fermented, heavy broadleaf capa. Earthy and dense with a long, teasing, slightly dirty finish, Mi Querida is delightfully lush and full-bodied on the palate, offering an extremely satisfying experience for the most passionate of cigar smokers. Mi Querida is handcrafted at the recently renovated cigar factory under the stewardship of their new master cigar maker, Raul Disla, at my direction. Those are notes by Steve Saka. And I'm smoking the Anco Largo, which is a 6x52. And the wrapper is USA Connecticut River Valley Broadleaf. The binder is Nicaraguan, and the filler is Nicaraguan as well. So those are the notes on the Mi Querida by Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust. This is part one, the story. Chapter one, God wanted a family. The earliest thought I had about God was not an invisible dad in the sky. God was a creator, a distant power. I presumed he knew about me and everyone else, but I had no idea what he was thinking, or if he was thinking, about me or the other people in the world. I didn't doubt he was there, not like a real presence in the room sort of thing. Instead, God was more or less a detached observer whose attention I might get from time to time, maybe when I was in trouble. I didn't think of God as out to get me, mind you, or that he didn't like me. For my part, I accepted that God was real, and I had no reason to think he was hostile. But that was it. As the saying goes, out of sight, out of mind. I had a lot to learn about God. Since I wasn't seeking him, I assumed he wasn't seeking me. If someone had asked me, I think I would have said God had better things to do. I would have presumed that I wasn't doing anything, good or bad, that deserved much attention. I was wrong. God was seeking me. I just didn't know it. I know now that God sought me because it's his nature to seek us. He's committed to us. How do we know these things about God? That's a question I'm going to ask more than once, so look for it. Let's start with ourselves as an analogy. It's normal, part of our nature, to care about the things we make, especially if they required serious effort or were the result of concerted thought. We are naturally going to be angry or resentful when someone mocks, belittles, destroys, or claims as theirs something we made, achieved, or thought of first. Not feeling those things would be abnormal. We feel this way because of who we are by default. We're self-aware. All of us have an inner life, the life of the mind. We use our intelligence for what we want and will bring us pleasure, not what will bring us pain and loss. We act intentionally, not randomly or without purpose. We are guided by our rationality and intuition. Illustrations of why all this is on target are numerous. Even the things we think have the least significance are done intentionally, guided by some point of reason. We brush our teeth because we don't want cavities or bad breath. We get up because we want to keep our job, or even better, because we have something fun to do. We turn left instead of right because we have a place to go. On those occasions when we might do something that could be called irrational, like flaming someone on social media who may never see it or care, it's still because we want some desired outcome, to feel superior or teach them a lesson. And even when we do something unpleasant, it's with the thought that it'll be good for us in some way. Why else go on a diet? We are by nature purposeful, not purposeless beings. Again, the opposite of these things would signal a psychological or emotional anomaly. The God of the Bible shares this profile. God does what he does to enjoy what he's done. God didn't create humanity because he lacked something. He wasn't lonely, as though he was incomplete or needed company. God needs nothing because, well, he's God. He created things to enjoy the work of his own hands, so to speak. And the things he cares about are those he made to be like him, in his own image, as the Bible says, Genesis 1:26. That would be you and me. So that is the first part of the book that I'm going to tackle today. We'll continue in the next episode. So I just want to thank you for joining me and hope you come back next time. Remember, have a great day, have a great cigar, and God bless.